From the JAMA Network, this is the JAMA Editor's Summary, a review of important research and review articles appearing in the latest JAMA issue.
Hello, and welcome to this JAMA Editor's Audio Summary for the November 22, 2022 issue. This is Dr. Ann Coppola, Associate Editor for JAMA. This week, there are four original investigations, three editorials, and three viewpoints that I would like to discuss. Effective regular, low-dose, extended-release morphine on chronic breathlessness and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, the BEAMS randomized clinical trial evaluated the effect of different doses of extended-release morphine on worst breathlessness in people with COPD. This multicenter, double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized clinical trial was conducted at 20 centers in Australia. People with COPD and chronic breathlessness, defined as a modified Medical Research Council score of 3 to 4, were randomized equally to oral extended-release morphine at 8 milligrams or 16 milligrams per day, or placebo. Additional doses of 8 milligrams per day of extended-release morphine, or placebo, were added after 1 week. 156 people were included in the primary analysis, and 138 completed treatment at week 1. The primary finding of this trial was that daily, low-dose extended-release morphine did not significantly reduce the intensity of worst breathlessness after 1 week of treatment. In the accompanying editorial, Richard Schwartzstein discusses what it means to have dyspnea and urges ongoing assessment of pharmacological and non-pharmacological interventions to elucidate the complex interaction among physiological, psychological, and social factors in dyspnea. The second original investigation is entitled Treatment Time and In-Hospital Mortality Among Patients with ST Segment Elevation Myocardial Infarction. The objective of this study was to describe contemporary treatment times, in-hospital mortality, and adherence to system goals in a registry of patients with ST segment elevation myocardial infarction treated at 648 hospitals in the Get With The Guidelines Coronary Artery Disease Registry. Median time from symptom onset to percutaneous coronary intervention, also known as PCI, was 148 minutes for patients presenting to PCI-capable hospitals by emergency medical service, 195 minutes for patients walking in, and 240 minutes for patients transferred from another hospital. This study reinforces the adage that time is myocardium, with increased mortality in patients who did not meet the system goals of treatment within 90 minutes of first medical contact in PCI-capable hospitals and within 120 minutes if patients required a transfer to a PCI-capable hospital. The 120-minute goal was difficult to achieve, with only 17% of patients transferred from another hospital receiving treatment within that time frame. In the accompanying editorial entitled Time to Treatment in ST Segment Elevation Myocardial Infarction, Identifying Dangerous Delays or Diminishing Returns, Andrew Ostrin and Robert Yeh advocate for a targeted approach to ST segment elevation myocardial infarction care quality improvement, whereby local clinicians identify barriers in care unique to their own institution or health system and then develop tailored solutions. The final two original investigations focus on the effects of changes in laws surrounding abortion care on how women receive abortion-related care. The first is entitled Association of Texas's 2021 Ban on Abortion in Early Pregnancy with the Number of Facility-Based Abortions in Texas and Surrounding States. This retrospective study of a sample of 50 Texas and out-of-state abortion facilities sought to assess overall changes in the number of abortions and the percentage of out-of-state abortions performed specifically at 12 or more weeks of gestation among Texas residents during the first 6 months following the implementation of Texas Senate Bill 8. This bill prohibits abortions after detection of embryonic cardiac activity. Data included 68,820 Texas facility-based abortions and 11,287 out-of-state abortions among Texas residents, and compared abortion care obtained from September 2021 through February 2022 with abortion care provided in the year prior. Compared with the month before implementation of Texas Senate Bill 8, the number of Texas facility-based abortions significantly decreased from 5,451 to 2,169, and the number of out-of-state abortions among Texas residents increased from 222 to 1,332, with an absolute change in 2,172 fewer abortions performed overall. Out-of-state abortions obtained by Texas residents at 12 or more weeks of gestation increased from 17.1% to 31% during the 6 months after the implementation of Texas Senate Bill 8. The original investigation entitled Estimated Travel Time and Spatial Access to Abortion Facilities in the U.S. Before and After the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Decision investigated the changes in travel time to the nearest abortion facility after the Dobbs U.S. Supreme Court decision. This spatial analysis compared access in the 2021 calendar year with September 2022 for the estimated 63,718,431 females aged 15 to 44 years in the U.S. Post-Dobbs abortion access was measured by simulating the closure of all facilities in the 15 states with existing total or six-week abortion bans in effect as of September 30, 2022. Median travel times to abortion facilities were estimated to increase from 10.9 to 17.0 minutes, and mean travel times were estimated to increase from 27.8 to 100.4 minutes. An estimated 33.3% of females of reproductive age lived in a census tract more than 60 minutes from an abortion facility, compared with 14.6% in the pre-Dobbs period. The final editorial is the International Code of Medical Ethics of the World Medical Association by Ramin Walter Parsi-Parsi of the German Medical Association. The International Code of Medical Ethics outlines the ethical principles and professional duties of the medical profession, including the physician's responsibilities towards patients and society, as well as toward other physicians, students, and other health professionals and personnel. The goal of this document is to raise awareness and reaffirm the fundamental and universal principles of medical ethics. And now for the viewpoints. In closing the loophole on hemp-derived cannabis products, a public health priority, Alyssa Harlow, Adam Leventhal, and Jessica Barrington Trimis advocate for state and federal regulations about hemp that prohibit sales to minors, set requirements for testing, packaging, and labeling, and place limits on potency and concentration of psychotropic products. In the tobacco industry and harm reduction, Howard Coe and Michael Fiore describe messaging from the tobacco industry promoting harm reduction that lacks transformative efforts to move product production beyond smoking. In Implications of Dobbs for the Recriminalization of Intimacy Among LGBTQ Individuals, Joanne Rosen and Chris Byrer outline concerns about the effects of Dobbs on the rights to engage in same-sex physical intimacy allowed by the 2003 Lawrence v. Texas Supreme Court decision. This has been Dr. Ann Coppola with JAMA. This episode was produced by Shelley Steffens of the JAMA Network. The audio team here also includes Jesse McWhorters, Daniel Morrow, Lisa Harden, Audrey Foreman, and Mary Lynn Furkeluk. To follow this and other JAMA Network podcasts, please visit us online at jamanetworkaudio.com. Thanks for listening.